Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be exploring Strong Team Maps. It's a framework for building really great student teams.
Oh, cool.
Our guide is this document called Strong Team Map Guide V1.pdf.
Okay.
It's got lots of practical strategies and real-world examples in there. What I think is really fascinating is that it goes beyond just skills. It really taps into the power of character strengths and even has some ways to use AI to help you create these teams. By the end of this deep dive, you should have a solid understanding of how strong team maps work and how you can actually use them.
I'm excited.
Even if you're not in a classroom setting.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dig into this. There's so much research that supports this whole idea of building teams based on strengths.
Right. And the guide starts by talking about something called agile student teams. These are teams that are multi-strength, cognitively diverse, small, and long-lived. Have you ever been in a team where, like, everybody thought the same way?
Oh, yeah.
It can be really limiting, right?
Absolutely. And the research backs that up. When everyone has the same perspective, you can really miss out on those innovative solutions. The guide actually highlights this study. It was a team of engineers who were struggling to solve this really complex design problem. They were all brilliant, but they just kept running into the same roadblocks over and over again.
Yeah.
Because they were approaching the problem from the exact same angle.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they brought in someone from a completely different field, it was an artist, and they had a totally unique perspective, that they were able to break through and actually find a creative solution.
That's a great example. It really shows why cognitive diversity is so crucial, especially for those really tough adaptive challenges that you face. It's not just about being smart, you know?
Yeah.
It's about having all these different ways of thinking and seeing the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the guide goes on to talk about why smaller teams are often more effective. It seems like around 3-5 members is that sweet spot.
That makes sense. Yet in those bigger groups, it's really easy for some voices to get lost. And it can be harder to build those strong relationships that are essential for great teamwork.
Right. And that's where the long-lived aspect comes in. When those teams work together over a longer period, they develop trust and a deeper understanding of each other's strengths. Think about like a sports team that's been playing together for years. They have this almost intuitive sense of how to work together. And that makes them incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it's like they become more than the sum of their parts. So we've got these key attributes of agile student teams: multi-strength, cognitively diverse, small, and long-lived. But how do you actually identify those individual strengths?
That's where the VIA character strengths framework comes in. The Strong Team Maps approach actually uses this framework to help students discover their unique strengths.
So instead of just focusing on traditional skills, you're also looking at character traits as well. What's the thinking behind using the VIA framework specifically?
Well, it's student-friendly, meaning that even younger learners can grasp the concepts. It's also based on solid research. So you know it's not just some random personality quiz, and it's free, which is a huge plus for educators.
Accessibility is key. Now, I know the VIA framework breaks down character strengths into 6 broad categories, right?
Yes. Things like wisdom, courage, humanity, justice, temperance, and transcendence.
Tell me more about that last one, transcendence. It sounds kind of mystical.
It is kind of mystical in a way. It's all about connecting to something bigger than yourself, finding meaning and purpose. Strengths in this category include things like gratitude, hope, spirituality, even appreciation of beauty and excellence. Humor.
So it's not just about what you're good at. It's about who you are as a person, like your values, your perspective on life.
Precisely. And what's fascinating is that research has shown that these transcendent strengths can actually boost team resilience and motivation.
That makes sense, right? If you're connected to a sense of purpose, you're probably going to be more resilient in the face of challenges and more motivated to contribute to something bigger than yourself. It's like that old saying, if you find your why, you can endure anyhow.
Exactly. Now, are you ready to dive into the strong team maps themselves and see how they use these strengths to form teams?
Lead the way. I'm eager to see how this all comes together.
Okay, so imagine a map. Not like a geographical one, you know.
Yeah.
But a map of strengths. That's essentially what a strong team map is. It visually represents the balance of strengths within a team, using those 6 VIA virtue categories we were just talking about.
So instead of like countries or continents, you have sections representing wisdom, courage, humanity, and so on.
Exactly. And each team member, they get placed within one of those categories based on their top strengths. Let's take a look at the example from the guide, third period science team 3. You see Sarah, whose top strength is curiosity. She's placed in the wisdom category. And then there's Michael. His top strength is teamwork. So he fits nicely into the justice category, and so on.
I see. So by visually mapping it out this way, you can immediately see if a team is multi-strength and well-rounded. It's like a quick snapshot of the team's potential.
Precisely. Now let's talk about actually forming teams using strong team maps. The guide actually outlines three different methods, each with its own advantages and considerations.
Okay, let's hear them. Which one's your favorite?
Well, they all have their merits. The first one, student form blind auditions. It's all about giving the students agency and creating that sense of excitement.
Sounds intriguing. How does it work?
Imagine this. Each student writes down a few of their top VIA strengths on sticky notes, along with the matching virtue category. But they write their name on the back, so it's hidden.
Ooh, I like the element of mystery. It's like a strength-based version of a secret admirer.
Exactly. Then all the sticky notes are placed on a shared strong team map. With each note going into that corresponding virtue category, the teacher then randomly selects sticky notes from different categories to form teams, ensuring that balance of strengths.
And the big reveal happens when those sticky notes are flipped over and the team members are revealed. I can see how that would add a lot of fun and engagement to the whole process.
It also minimizes bias, because the teams are formed based on strengths and not on pre-existing social dynamics.
Right. It's not about who your friends are or who you usually hang out with. It's about forming teams that are strategically aligned for success.
What about the second method?
The second method is teacher-formed teams. This approach is a little more straightforward. The teacher collects each student's top strengths and then manually assembles the teams, making sure there's a good mix of strengths and also considering any other factors that they might be aware of.
So less student agency, but potentially more nuanced in terms of the teacher's understanding of individual students and the dynamics of the classroom. When do you think a teacher might choose this method over the blind auditions? Well, maybe they have a group of students who tend to clash, or a student who might need extra support in a team setting. The teacher can really use their judgment there to create teams that will not only be strong in terms of VIA strengths, but also function well together.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about striking that balance between leveraging the data and using the teacher's expertise to create the best possible learning environment. All right, what about method number three? This is the one with the AI, right?
Yes, AI-assisted team formation. The guide even provides a sample prompt that you can use with AI tools, like ChatGPT, for example. You can feed the AI a spreadsheet with all the students' VIA strength data, and it can generate balanced teams like that in seconds.
That's incredible. It seems like a huge time saver for teachers, especially those with large classes. But does it take away some of the human element, though? You know that teacher's intuition we were just talking about.
That's a great question. And that's why the guide really emphasizes that AI should be seen as a tool, not a replacement for human judgment. The teacher can use the AI-generated teams as a starting point and then make adjustments based on their knowledge of the students.
So it's like a collaboration between human and artificial intelligence. I like it. What are some of the pros and cons of each of these methods?
Well, with student-formed teams, you get that excitement and agency and that reduction of bias. But it might not be the most efficient if time is limited. Teacher-formed teams are much quicker and allow the teacher to bring in their knowledge of student dynamics.
Right.
But it might feel less exciting to the students. And then AI-assisted formation, super efficient and helpful. But it requires that balance of human oversight. Ultimately, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. The best method really depends on that specific context.
It sounds like a toolkit of options that teachers can choose from, right, based on their needs and the needs of their students. So we've covered how to form these teams, but what happens after the teams are actually up and running?
That's where the follow-up is so crucial. And the guide provides some great tools for this. First, there's the strong team roster. Think of it as like a living document that keeps track of all the team members and their top strengths. It can be displayed in the classroom, so everyone is constantly reminded of the team's diverse talents.
I love that. It's a visual reminder that each person brings something valuable to the table.
Exactly. And then there are reflection questions that encourage students to think more deeply about their strengths and how they contribute to the team. Questions like, what strengths do you admire in your teammates? Or how do your teammates' strengths support or complement your own?
Those questions seem so powerful. You know, they go beyond just labeling the strengths and move into the realm of like really understanding and appreciating how those strengths work together.
Imagine that aha moment when a student realizes, wow, my teammates' love of learning really helps us when we get stuck. It's about moving from me to we.
It sounds like this whole approach is about fostering that culture of collaboration, where everyone feels valued and empowered to contribute their best. And that brings us to the bigger picture, right? Strong team maps aren't just the standalone activity. They're part of a larger movement towards strength-based learning.
You got it. And that's what we're going to delve into next. We're going to explore how strong team maps connect to established educational frameworks and the research that supports this whole approach.
You mentioned that strong team maps are part of this larger movement towards strengths-based learning. It seems like a really positive shift in education, you know, focusing on what students are good at rather than what they're lacking.
It really is a powerful change in perspective. Just imagine a classroom where every student feels seen and valued for their unique strengths.
It's like you're creating this environment where students are excited to learn and contribute because they know their strengths actually matter.
Yeah. And that enthusiasm can be contagious. It creates this ripple effect that benefits the whole classroom community. The guide even points out that strong team maps align with some well-established educational frameworks like CASEL, ACT, P21, and the IAB program.
Okay, break that down for me a little bit. I know some of our listeners might not be familiar with all those acronyms. What do they represent, and how do strong team maps connect to them?
You're right. It's always good to clarify. Let's start with CASEL. That stands for the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. They've identified these five core competencies for students to develop: self-awareness, social awareness, relationship skills, self-management, and responsible decision-making.
And strong team maps touch on all five of those. How so?
Think about it. When students identify their top VIA strengths, they're becoming more self-aware. They're recognizing their own values and talents and areas where they naturally excel.
It's like they're holding up a mirror to themselves and seeing all these positive qualities reflected back.
Exactly. And then as they start to understand and appreciate the strengths of their teammates, they're building social awareness.
So they're expanding their perspective to see the value that others bring to the table, even if those strengths are different from their own.
Right. And then, of course, working in these multi-strength teams naturally develops those relationship skills. Communication, collaboration, conflict resolution, all those essential skills you know for working effectively with others.
Makes sense. What about self-management and responsible decision-making, though? How do those fit in?
Well, when you understand your own strengths and weaknesses, you can actually regulate your emotions and behaviors more effectively in a team setting. For example, if you tend to just jump in with ideas really quickly, you can consciously practice active listening and make space for others to share their thoughts.
So it's about using that self-awareness to contribute positively to the group dynamic.
Exactly. And then responsible decision-making. That comes into play. When students are forming teams based on strengths rather than personal preferences, they're making choices that prioritize the success of the team as a whole, which is a valuable skill that goes way beyond the classroom.
It's like they're shifting from a me-centered mindset to a we-centered approach.
You got it. And it's not just CASEL. The guide also mentions connections to other frameworks like ISD, which focuses on technology and 21st century skills, P21, which emphasizes the importance of preparing students for the workforce of the future, and the IB Learner Profile, which promotes this holistic, internationally minded approach to education.
So it's not just this isolated idea. It's really woven into the fabric of these highly respected educational frameworks.
Yeah.
What about the research behind it all? What kind of evidence supports the idea that this strengths-based approach actually works?
Well, the guide mentions several key research areas. One is cognitive diversity, which we talked about earlier. Studies have shown time and time again that teams with diverse perspectives are just better at problem solving and innovation.
It makes sense, right? If everyone in a group thinks the same way, you're less likely to come up with those groundbreaking ideas. What else?
Then there's Vygotsky's zone of proximal development, the idea that we learn best when we're collaborating with others.
Yeah.
Who are slightly ahead of us in terms of skill or knowledge.
So in a multi-strength team, you've got this built-in opportunity for everyone to be both a learner and a teacher.
Exactly. The guide also mentions self-determination theory, which emphasizes autonomy, competence, and relatedness as essential for motivation and engagement. And I bet you those needs are met when students feel valued for their strengths and empowered to contribute meaningfully to their team.
Absolutely. It's like you're setting the stage for intrinsic motivation to just flourish.
Right. And then there's social interdependence theory, which highlights how cooperation and collaboration lead to better outcomes for everyone involved.
It's a win-win. So we've got all this research backing up this whole idea that building teams based on strengths, using a framework like strong team maps, can have a powerful impact on learning and collaboration, and even the students' overall well-being. This has been such a fascinating exploration of strong team maps and the whole idea of strengths-based learning. I feel like we've gone from understanding the nuts and bolts of the framework to seeing how it fits into this broader educational movement, which is really cool.
I agree. It's been a pleasure diving into this with you.
And we hope you, our listener, have enjoyed this deep dive as well. What are your takeaways? Have you ever used a strengths-based approach in your own work or your personal life? We'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep building those strong teams.